On Tuesdays, about this time, we always have a pastor stop in and helps to dig a little deeper into the Word. Today, it's Pastor Ed Heading talking about, well, the title I see here is Rounding the Bend Toward Home.
Yes, I like this. Yes.
What's on your heart, brother?
Yeah, and so I heard the saying many, many times that Christians can be so heavenly minded they're not earthly good. But I think sometimes in our current culture and current Christianity that maybe we're too, you know, earthly minded to be heavenly good. We don't often stop and think about the hope of heaven. Mm. We see a lot of mental illness, despair, hope, but for the Christian, we have that hope that's out there that we get to go to heaven. And so I just think about rounding the bend toward home. I spent a considerable amount of time living in Lynchburg, Virginia, and we lived many places after I moved from there from Atlanta to New Jersey to Eastern Illinois and here in Iowa. And of course, our family would go back to visit my mom. My dad passed away in 1999. So as we would go back and visit my mom, always fun to anticipate rounding that last bend and coming down the street to a light on in the bay window of the living room. And it just brought great anticipation and excitement that our family was coming home. Mm. And of course, my mom would always make my favorite food and her awesome chocolate chip cookies. And there's just something about going home and finding it a place of peace and tranquility and relaxation. Something about home where you don't have to put on airs. You don't have to perform. You can just be you and be accepted by the family. And so today, I just want to talk about how God is preparing a place for us right now at this moment in heaven. And Seth, would you read John 14:1?
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
Notice what Jesus says here in these verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If we have a heavenly perspective in our daily lives, it gives us hope in the midst of the news and circumstances of our life. Deb, read John 16:33.
I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world.
Man, what a great promise. What a great encouragement. And as we see the injustices in our world, we see wars, we see extreme poverty. I've been to countries where many kids don't have parents, the loss of our own family members who we're close to. We wonder when heaven will come down and take over the earth. When we'll see Jesus coming back to balance the scales of justice and reward those who are following him. And so we're not troubled because we believe in God and he is preparing a place for each of his children who are believers. So I believe that God is preparing a custom-made place for you in heaven if you know Christ. Seth, read John 14:2 there.
In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?
Yeah, and I think about that song we sing with our kids at church about Big House, Audio Adrenaline. You know, house, many, many rooms, play football in a big yard, and so on. But the cool thing is that God knows our personality. He knows our likes. He knows our dislikes. He knows the things that bring you great joy. He's making a unique place for each of us that fits with how God created us. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." God knows your name, and he has a personal relationship with each of us. And as he delights in doing good, we have a God who wants to do good on behalf of his children. Deb, would you read these next two verses, please?
Sure. Jeremiah 32:41. "I will rejoice in doing them good." And Psalm 84:11. "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly."
Isn't that great that we have a God that wants to do good? That's his goal. That's his purpose. And I can't imagine what heaven's like and what God has prepared for me in the future. But one thing that I do know, it's going to be home. And sometimes in this world, we don't seem satisfied. We long for something more. Mm-hmm. When a time comes and we feel unsatisfied with the things around us, our circumstances, our possessions, our relationships, just remember that we're not home yet. C.S. Lewis said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." That's good to remember and hold on to. Another thing Jesus talks about here in John 14:3 is that Jesus will come to take you home in his time. Seth, would you read John 14:3?
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be, and you will know the way to where I am going.
Yeah, as a pastor, over the course of my time in ministry, I've done over 100 funerals. And doing the funeral of a Christ follower is so much different than one who isn't sure, we're not sure, or who wasn't a believer in Christ. But as hard as it is emotionally for coming to the finality of our death and to share a life well lived in the celebration of life for a Christian, the greatest comfort for us as Christ followers is that we can say, see you later, rather than goodbye. And whether Jesus comes and takes us home in death or at the rapture of the church, heaven will be heaven because Jesus is there. Mm-hmm. There's a song that says the only scars in heaven will be those on the hands and feet of Jesus, as a constant reminder of what a privilege it is to be invited to heaven through a personal relationship with the one who died in our place, who paid for our sins, who rose again to give us the hope of eternal life. Some of the listeners and maybe some of us in this studio need to be reminded of that. I miss my mom and dad very much. I wish I could pick up the phone one more time and have a conversation with them, but I can't in this life. But because of Jesus, I will have all eternity to spend with them and others who've gone on before us. And then Jesus tells us in John 14:6, he's the only way to heaven and the place of endless joy. Deb, would you read John 14:6-7?
Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
You know, there's a lot of talk in our culture that all religions, if followed, and if the follower is committed to that religion, it will get them to heaven. I've heard people say God has many names, just depending on what the religion is, or and religion and God is just a cultural thing. But Jesus made it very clear that the way to heaven was exclusively through him, but open for all who want to come and come on his terms to follow him. Jesus is the creator of the way to get to heaven. He shares the truth of how to get there, and because we have a risen Savior who lives, he grants life and eternal life for those who trust in him. And simply saying that I'm a sinner, I realize I've broken God's laws, and in my own ability, I can't earn my way to heaven. But Jesus died on the cross, and he paid for my sin. He was my substitute. And through his shed blood, we can find forgiveness of our sin in connection with our Heavenly Father if we ask him to come into our heart, forgive us of our sins, turn away from our sins, and receive him as Savior. And heaven will be a place where all tears will be wiped away. There won't be any more mourning or grief. There'll be no need for wheelchairs, no more doctor's appointments, no more canes, nursing homes, etc., because we will not age in heaven. We're going to walk on streets of gold. It will be a place of newness and beauty. Revelation 21 says, I will make all things new. And then there'll be no sin. There won't be any need for a sun or moon or lamps because God will be the light of heaven. I believe that we'll get to explore the far reaches of God's universe and see all the creativity of God that we only have a thimbleful to see thoroughly through these amazing telescopes that we have here on Earth. Imagine talking with people from the Bible and hearing more details of their stories. What a mind-blowing thought is that this will never end, and it's hard to get our head around that. It will not be a static place where we sit on clouds and sit in robes with harps. It will be an active place with people enjoying their responsibilities because they're exalting and honoring their God, who they can see with their new eyes in a resurrected body. Lastly, we wait for this with patience, with hope, and anticipation daily. Seth, would you read 1 John 3 there?
Beloved, we are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure.
Yeah, so we seek to be holy as we look forward to his appearing. So Paul shares, lastly, this verse in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, these two verses, to help us be patient, to be filled with hope and eager anticipation. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And what I love about this, these two verses, as I was preaching through Philippians a number of years ago and doing the study, is the fact that Philippi was on the far edge of the Roman Empire. And when you move past that territory they were in, you were beyond the reaches of Rome. And they were citizens of Rome, but they were far from home, far from Rome, the capital of the empire. You and I, we're far from home right now. You and I were citizens of America, planet Earth, but we can see in our mind's eye heaven through the Word of God and the words of Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither."
Wow.
I close with this story. There's a story about a missionary and his wife, Robert C. Morrison. They were coming back from Africa, and back in those days, you didn't have furloughs. You know, this was back at the turn of the beginning of the 20th century. Theodore Roosevelt was the president, and he happened to be coming back from Africa after serving decades there with his wife, far from family and home, and he was retiring. And he was coming back on the same ship that Theodore Roosevelt was coming back on after he had been there for a safari and had a great time. And as they were entering New York Harbor, Robert C. Morrison and his wife were on the deck and looking over the railing, and there was all the trappings of the patriotic banners, and the band was playing Hail to the Chief, and there's a red carpet rolled out for Teddy Roosevelt to come in as the people there, the crowd, wanted to welcome the president home. And for a moment, Robert C. Morrison was kind of sad because there was not going to be anybody there to welcome him home after all the many years of being a missionary in Africa. And as he was thinking about that and his heart kind of sunk, God spoke to him and said to him, "You're not home yet. You're not home yet. Your celebration is going to be even greater and better in the future." So be mindful of that today, that we aren't home yet. We're not here. We're not ready to round that bend yet toward home. But when we do, Jesus will be there and we'll be able to spend all eternity with him.
What a comfort, Pastor Ed. Thanks for sharing that. What a comfort and a hope.
Yep, you're welcome.